What about ordination, like, or like marriages? Let's say there's no more traditional church, and I mean, in Germany, you can get married by the state.
Yeah.
But in the United States, if you were a Christian, ultimately, you'd have to have a licensed pastor marry you.
Yeah.
So how would somebody in a home church that maybe didn't have somebody with a license or didn't even know anybody, how would they deal with getting married?
In our home church, did we have people getting married? Yeah, you have to go to the state and then you can do celebration, whatever. If you like that, maybe the elder of the home mm-hmm. church want to pray with them, you know, and mm-hmm. that's fine.
But that would work in Europe, but not in America.
No, in America it's different.
So what would somebody in America do?
Yeah, find a church.
You just have to go to a pastor and say, "Will you marry me?"
I think in America, John Fenn can give you a license or whatever that you are ordained. I think he gives something if he knows you, so that you are an ordained minister in the States. It works in the States, not in Europe.
It doesn't matter so much.
Yeah, in the States it works. Yeah.
It wouldn't matter in Europe, though, for prison ministry and hospital ministry.
Yeah, then you can go to
us. You need
a
special card.
Yeah. You could come to us if you're part mm-hmm. of the network.
Okay.
We could give that to you. Yeah.
So there you go. If home church speaks to you, but that ministry is important. Mm-hmm. There's avenues that people can go through to still
definitely.
get a title on paper for government reasons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you need it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the people in our home church sent a question again about assigning leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some of the listeners have heard of Francis Chan.
Mm-hmm.
He has famously broken his church down mm-hmm. into home church. And they don't practice the typical, you know, leader preaching a sermon method, mm-hmm. but they share the leadership of the structure. But they do officially assign leaders mm-hmm. of those home churches.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like because you were pastors of a church and then mm-hmm. broke down into a home church, it would be very clear that you were the leaders.
Yeah.
But that might not be very clear in another kind of church that maybe mm-hmm. came together organically.
Yeah.
How would you handle that? Do you feel like, should there be some point where people understand that somebody is kind of taking some responsibility for this? Or is mm-hmm. that really not important?
Yeah, you could talk about it. You can share the scripture from Acts 20. You know, those leaders, those elders are serious about their own walk, about the flock. And it says, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So it's something the Holy Spirit does in people's hearts, you know, mm-hmm. that they can say, I feel led by the Lord to do that. And it also, when you know that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, it's also like an accountability to him, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a seriousness. Mm-hmm. It's not something like, okay, let's just do that. And whatever does it say here? Oh, yeah, to shepherd the church of God. That's actually what elders are. They have a heart for people. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can share. That's the gift, mm-hmm. you know, the grace. Mm-hmm. And if people like to appoint elders, say, well, you are definitely the elder. Well, if you like to do that, that's fine.
Right.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. But it should come naturally.
I see.
That's the mm-hmm. best.
So what I hear you saying is this is a conversation that a group would have.
Yeah.
Or like you were saying about, it goes just back to recognizing.
Yeah, recognizing the grace.
Ourselves, we recognize.
Yeah. There are other graces. We have people who love to serve, you know, to cook, mm-hmm. to clean, to whatever, serve people. That's a grace too.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
also for edifying the body of Christ. And there are different graces. And to pastor people is that grace too. So mm-hmm. people have to be taught how to recognize and how to discern that. What do you see in that person, you know? Who would you say has a heart for people? Who is serious about their own lives?
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher, who is the one who can explain the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that grace in someone?
Mm-hmm.
Or what grace do you see in that person? Like an administrator, you know, has a different grace, or someone who's more prophetic, for instance, is a person who sees everything black and white, for
mm-hmm,
instance,
mm-hmm.
it's wrong or it's right, you know. So how that's something too. How do you deal with those things in house church?
Yeah.
Talking about different graces is actually important.
Sure.
Because oftentimes it's like, oh no, you are too harsh, you know, and a person who's more mercy motivated feels for what another person mm-hmm. feels and say, oh no, you are way too harsh and that's not right. God is God of love. But you have to understand the different graces there are and understand where people come from.
Yeah, that's good. We've definitely experienced that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In good ways, though, I think so far.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. On that same topic about, you know, recognizing the graces in people, for me, just to share a little bit from my background, I didn't find a place to serve or to activate what God had given me until I came into a house church setting. And that maybe was because I was a little bit anonymous in churches, just due to my history. Mm-hmm. I did grow up in a church, but we left that church. And shortly after leaving it, my parents got divorced. And then we left whatever church we were going to. And then I was in Germany. And then so by the time I was an adult settling into a church, it was really from zero with no relationship. So who was going to let me serve? Mm-hmm. And then going into home church, I found a space where I could hear from the Lord. Mm-hmm. I could encourage other people. Right. I could pray with people. I could even teach from the Bible, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. And that was huge for me. Mm-hmm. Really, really huge. And in that, I found out how much God loved me. Mm-hmm. Not because I was doing things, mm-hmm. but because I saw what he had poured into me and how right. he could, that he actually wanted to speak to me. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's one of the most important things about home church.
Yeah. Home church should be a safe place, you know, to experience the gifts and to do some stuff. And even if you miss it, who cares, you know? You learn by doing stuff. So it should be a safe place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you actively encourage the members of your home church to serve and use their gifts? And
Yeah. That's like we like to share the responsibilities every week. We call it who wants to lead next week. Mm-hmm. And then oftentimes you see the person who has a gift, for instance, for worship, likes to start with worship. Or maybe the whole morning will be, or afternoon will be about worship. And sometimes people say, well, it's scary. I don't know. I cannot hear from God. But it can be like just one scripture, or a person can share a little bit about what happened to him this mm-hmm. week and how he saw how the Lord was working and encouraging him. You know, just a small story maybe. So just start somewhere, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, mm-hmm. I would encourage people to start somewhere.
Just start somewhere. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a whole sermon, right? Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we needed to hear that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. If we were to just completely disband traditional church and have all these little home churches, mm-hmm. do you think that those kind of big ministries would suffer, or would it become more ecumenical that all of the little home churches would, the people with the giftings would then have to find each other and do it? Would that be the ultimate vision?
Yeah. There's also what they call parachurch.
Parachurch.
There's a lot of organizations that aren't tied to church.
Right, that's
and
right.
And I think that would continue.
Right.
Even if the structured church wouldn't be there, you still could have parachurch organizations
right.
and that
then,
are doing things.
Ultimately, theoretically, there would be more unity.
I think so.
Because mm-hmm. the evangelist from the home church in Chicago would meet from the evangelist of the home
that's
church
right.
from the suburb of Chicago and somebody
it wouldn't
nearby.
Be, oh, you're a Southern Baptist. I can't work with
no,
you.
No, no.
We would be the Church International
yeah.
that can all work together.
And we'd be joining with each other
yeah.
across the city, across the
yeah.
wherever
as,
we live.
As a home church, when you are part of a home church, please stay connected to the rest of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to go to a teacher, for instance, or a preacher or whatever, but be involved in what the Lord is doing in your
mm-hmm.
community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's important.
Join, yeah, yeah, worship teams or
yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's that's fine. Good. So that answers that about how
yeah
big broad
yeah don't yeah don't isolate yourselves
right.
no
uh-huh. and don't maybe put it on, oh, I'm in this home church, and I'm the only evangelist there, so I now can't do anything.
No,
you
no.
have the freedom to
yeah.
find the groups that are evangelizing,
yeah, of
and
course,
join them, and hopefully they have an open door for you.
I well, hope
even
so.
If you're not a member of their church,
yeah, yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
in a biblical world.